Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast.
So.
Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with Todd. Todd.
You say funny things.
This smells horrible.
That does smell horrible.
Liu.
What are you showing me?
What are you doing? We're recording.
I understand that. I can look at
it. Are you sure?
Yeah, I can look at this. It's cool. So, let me see the horrible. I don't have any.
Uh-oh.
Are you going to drink some? So, someone gave us some alcohol. I don't even know what to call it. It smells like when your dad was drunk when you were little, if that ever happened to you.
It's Malort with an umlaut over the O. Lamort liqueur.
Yeah, like when your dad was holding you and he was drunk and then he dropped you.
Yeah. That's what it smells like.
That's what it smells like. That says, memory.
It smells like when someone sweats after they've been drinking.
It says Jepson Malort has the aroma and full-bodied flavor of an unusual botanical.
Did you say body flavor?
Of your drunk dad.
Its bitter taste is savored by two-fisted drinkers. It says.
That sounds sexual.
That sounds.
Who gave that to
like
us?
A fucking alcoholic.
Once again, it's Adam Fletterman. So if you buy us two bottles of alcohol, we will give you the shout outs for two bottles of alcohol.
That's right.
Yeah, Adam Fletterman. But let me.
Even when one is dubious.
On,
David Letterman gave us this bottle?
It smells better in the glass than it did in the bottle.
It doesn't smell. It's so.
Why is this? My goblet smells like old lady. Like.
It smells weird.
All right, you ready?
Hold on, Brad didn't have any.
Yeah, he did. He just drank it. Okay.
You drank it?
Yeah.
No. Hey, don't you dare. You motherfucker. Why did you not cheers?
We did. It doesn't matter. You ready?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, God damn. Oh. Jesus.
I think they poisoned us.
Oh.
It's bad.
Oh.
I'm a little bit nervous.
Oof. Oh. God.
That's Adam.
It's like when you eat.
Oh.
Adam. I'm going to find you.
We might die. You might have killed us.
Oh, shit. That is the worst.
That's the worst thing I've ever drinking.
The bitter is still. It's like.
It won't go away.
It's like 10 times a grapefruit. Like my tongue feels numb and bitter like grapefruit.
Ooh.
It's like you chewed the rinds of a grapefruit.
Oh.
That's what it tastes like.
It's bad. It's
I remember like when I
we
was
we will
a
never
kid.
Fucking drink this again.
No.
But if we have a guest, we need to put this in a fucking a decanter or something.
I can't. Oh.
It tasted like bitters, dude. Like literally.
Maybe you're not supposed to drink this. Is this to be added to something?
Yes, it's fucking bitters, dude. Like that is not.
I don't think you're supposed to drink this.
That's when you mix drinks and
it calls for two-fisted drinkers.
Yeah, to mix with the other thing in your other fist.
Fuck.
Because you're not supposed to drink this straight. I don't think this is alcohol. Has aroma?
I think he got it.
It's alcohol.
He played a joke on us.
It says it's 70 proof.
It's a liqueur.
It says certified color added. The fuck does that mean? Contains FDC yellow and number 5. Has all the cancers in it.
Oof. I taste them.
Man, that was rough.
Thanks, bro.
Is that what grandma's cancer tasted like?
God,
Jesus
this is
Christ.
Still bitter on my tongue. Like the back of my mouth is still like tingy.
You should have known with my reaction.
It won't go away.
Man.
I feel like a bitter vampire.
His whiskey was legit that we drank for the last episode. But
I don't remember it. What was the whiskey? Buffalo Trace. Yeah. All right. Also, Sid Melvin gave us some beer called The Tattered Prince.
It has
a picture of Nikola Tesla holding a light bulb with a pigeon on his shoulder, which is fucking cool.
That is cool.
I'm going to take my headphones
and
off.
And yes, it's that Sid Melvin.
Yes.
You need to take a picture of the bottle and post it too. So I will say that I was on the Facebook group and someone posted a picture of their tofu scramble with some roasted potatoes and an avocado that was covered in El Yucateco. And I made my own tofu scramble and hash browns, and I took the Chipotle El Yucateco and just put it on half an avocado. It was fucking delicious. The rest of it was like, whatever, ignore it. But the half an avocado with the Chipotle El Yucateco, like a liberal amount, so good.
I wanted you to use that glass for beer.
But guacamole.
He drank it all. Hey, finish that for me.
Tell me what's in that can, Dave.
Root beer.
You fucker. Say like the Highlander.
It's root beer.
Dave says root beer. But if he makes fun of you, he says it's like the Highlander. He's like, root beer. There can be only one root beer.
Root beer.
Are you going to drink some of this?
Nah.
Come on. Sid gave it to us.
I don't like beer.
Sid's famous and shit too. He's more famous than us still.
Okay. I don't care about beer.
Okay. He's more famous than us still. Okay.
It's going to be... decent to not
come on, good. Brad. You have to taste it.
No, he doesn't.
He hates Sid.
It's dick. Beer. I don't.
That's because Sid don't like the N word. He's afraid of.
No, I don't like it. That's gross. That's really not good.
Tastes way better than that fucking whatever that crazy bitter was. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's not bad.
That's no King Cobra. let's leave it at that.
The bottle's really cool.
Bottle is cool.
But I do have one thing I want to say about Google. They're racist.
What happened?
Oh, yeah, they hate white people.
No. They were, in this case, they're racist against black people.
What happened?
Well, everybody's racist. Who doesn't hate black people? I mean, I hate naggers.
So I've never had an emoji app because why would you?
Okay.
Right.
Some of them are built into Android, right?
Yeah.
God, why is
not in mine. I have no emojis in my Android. I have an older Android.
They have black emojis.
But two or three times I've wanted to install an emoji app for no apparent reason because I know I'm never going to fucking use them. And then I go to do it and like when you install it, it's its own keyboard. And then whichever ones I've tried, a message pops up that says, are you sure you want to use this keyboard? Because the company has the rights to monitor everything you ever type on your phone, including credit card numbers. Mm-hmm. Like the message pops up that says that.
It says including
credit card numbers.
And it's I'm because like, it's a keyboard app.
Right.
I'm if like, it's not delete, from a trusted
no,
place.
Yeah. Fuck you. Like not going to use it.
Yeah.
But then Google has an app.
Yeah.
That
it can track your emojis, credit card numbers.
And I'm like, Google already knows my credit card numbers and they're already tracking everything I type. So I downloaded it and looked at the emojis, and there's like a million little white people, and there isn't one brother on the wall.
There's no white people, there's yellow people.
No, they're white people.
No, they're white
people.
They're white.
They're peach.
They are white people.
Just on the Google one?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what I have, but it has like an Indian dude and a black person.
Nope.
Mine's just built into Android, which is Google.
Nope. It's the Google keyboard app. Like it's called the Gboard, like something like 500 million downloads, not one black person. 500 million downloads, not one black
500,
person.
500 million white people downloaded that shit.
That's right.
Was it a free app or a paid app?
It's a free app.
You got to pay Google. For you got to pay
oh,
for
you
the
gotta
brother
pay for the black people.
Brother emojis.
Yeah. You got to pay. I mean, there wasn't a brown person. There wasn't a black person. There wasn't nothing, just white people.
I think they would think about
just
that.
Peachy huh? white people. I was maybe. Looking at settings, like maybe you just maybe. Change all of them to black people. No, nope.
It's like German. Like, want to switch it to German? No, I'm going to switch it to black. Can I switch it to black?
Nope.
Hey, well, what's this though?
They got eggplants. What's they got turds with eyeballs. They got one brother on the wall.
What's this though? Aren't you mad about like GPSs? They don't have a black voice. They got Australian. They got Canadian. They got whatever other places there are. And then
someone
they don't
would
have
make
no black
$1 million
people.
Dollars if they did an Ebonics one. It was just all fucked up.
Yeah.
True. They'd be like, nigga, turn left now. Bitch, you missed the motherfucking turn. Now you got to turn around and waste some gas money, nigga.
See?
Some bullshit.
I would pay good money for that. Or like if it was Mr. T. I think it'd be awesome. Yeah.
I pity the fool who don't get off on this exit.
Turn right in 2 blocks, fool. Gotta turn around, sucker.
Oh my God. The A-Team theme comes on.
You reach your destination, fool.
Yeah. Hey, drink your van. Your van got a flat tire.
Take your vitamin.
Mr. T's my hero. So anyway, Google's racist. I just wanted to say.
I'm downloading it right now. Of course I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
For one, they live up north. Everybody up north is racist. Right.
But they don't know it.
They don't know it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we're talking about, are we getting into the, what are we doing? Oh.
What just happened?
You were completely I still have fucking bitters.
Yeah, I can't even talk. Pablo Escargot. That's what we're talking about.
I don't think that stuff is supposed to be drinking straight. Like, I don't think.
It's a mixer. It's a bitters. That's exactly what it is.
After I'm done with this racist keyboard, I'm going to look that shit up. I've got post-its.
Right. We're talking about Pablo Escobar.
You guys get started.
So
Pablo Escobar, we've done some different criminals and stuff in the past, but I wanted to look into Pablo Escobar.
I thought he was a coffee maker. I looked up the wrong motherfucker.
No, that's Juan Valdez.
No, they had a Pablo Escobar. He made coffee.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
He probably did make coffee.
Shit.
So Pablo Escobar, the head of the Medellin cartel, if you've ever heard of the Medellin drug cartel, that's him.
I think
him.
You're saying it wrong.
I know I'm saying it wrong. So looking into him, I had no idea how fucking rich and how fucking powerful he was at his height before doing the research.
Yeah, like, he was a very powerful guy for being 4'9". Holy shit.
He's 5'5".
He's 5'5". He's super powerful for his height.
5'5", yep. So at his height, he was worth the modern day equivalent, because he died in 93, he was worth the modern day equivalent of $55 billion is the estimate of his personal fortune. And like with all criminals, odds are it was a lot higher than that, but that's the deals and organizations that people knew he was involved in. That's not the shit that didn't ever come to light.
Brent.
There's a black cop right there.
Brent.
It's a black cop too.
Black cock. Brent, what would you do with $55 billion?
Two chicks at the same time, man. That's what I fucking do. I'll tell you what, man.
You sabotage yourself. You're talking about Facebook posts and fucking everything. Like,
how am I going to answer any other way?
Right? Here's the thing. When I had $20 billion, you know what I would do?
What?
Get out of the fucking drug game. That's what I would do.
Maybe.
You think so, but.
You can't. You can't get out.
Yeah, you want more power.
So most people think he was the wealthiest criminal to ever live, based on his empire. He was born Pablo Emilio Escobar Gaviria on December 1st, 1949. He was born in Colombia. His father, which I know many people will enjoy hearing, was a peasant farmer. So
I don't want you to just brush over this.
He was the son of a fuck.
There's
face.
More Japanese people in here than there's white people for sure.
You've got a much nicer screen than I do. I have an old phone.
I would say all of these people are Japanese. There's a dancing black man too. There's a dancing black man and a black cop pulling the race card on the fucking G board.
Maybe your display is not.
So here's the thing. So there's like 80.
Hey, wait a minute.
White people and we got 2 black people.
Hmm. I think your phone's racist.
Yeah.
Did you accidentally grab your grandpa's phone? That fucking Nazi.
Oh, I might have. Oh, I think you're right.
Rotary emojis are like way racist.
Rotary emojis?
Mm-hmm. Well, the Japanese people, when they were up in the trees sniping people, they made the emojis.
Yeah.
So that's why there's more Japanese people.
That's how they would communicate.
I gotta uninstall this. Trees. Fuck.
They were like, send that guy a happy face. He lives. You get a sad face. You get sniped. What happens?
So Escobar was born to a peasant farmer and a mother who was a school teacher. When he was young, he apparently had like huge dreams. Like, he's born to a peasant family and he's running around in Colombia and he's telling everyone that he's one day going to become the president of Colombia and he's going to be the most powerful man in Colombia. And like, even as a kid, these were his aspirations and this was what he was up to. So he had this ingrained sense of wanting to be powerful and wanting, et cetera. So it wasn't just, he wasn't just a criminal who happened to luck into it. Like, all indications are that he was fucking hardwired to be power hungry from fucking day one. Right.
He's to steal, well, he's to steal headstones and sand them down and say, and resell them.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That was his first crime when he was
looking at racket. He would steal cars and he would steal headstones. And I read two things. I read that he would sand them down to resell them as new headstones, and he would steal really old headstones and he would sell them to importer exporters who would like ship them off for like decorations for rich people in America, because it's like some crazy, you know, from 100 years ago kind of a tombstone, and people would buy them for decorations.
I think we have a checkbox for, like, turns out to be, well, like, all the people that came, they were fuck-faced peasants when they were born, and then they turned into, like, some sort of leader. You know what I mean? Like, they're not a serial killer, they're not a cult leader, but they're a leader.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess it could be cult, too. They could be born poor into cult. Yeah. We got to look further into that checkbox.
Yeah, so he's definitely a peasant fuckface at the beginning, and he goes into it. So he starts as a petty thief. He ends up starting to make a lot of connections, and I want to look into this more because I've never heard of it, but there was an era in Colombia that they called the Marlboro Wars. And there tobacco. Was like a major criminal underground of smuggling in illegal cigarettes and selling them illegally. And this is how we got started in the smuggling game. This is how we got started dealing with little gangs, from the tobacco sales. And he ends up coming up in something called the Marlboro Wars, which is pretty crazy. I bet that was some nasty fucking shooting people over cigarettes, like cutthroat, like
some bullshit
madness. Cause I know the mob deals in stolen cigarettes, and that's like a big thing like that the mob deals with. So this would have tied him into some mob connections for sure. What are you doing over there, Brent?
I'm trying to read about that fucking drink. It's real. People love it. And they take a 4 o'clock shot. Someone actually said they waited till their children were grown. They couldn't wait to have them try it or some. And their fucking website is weird, but it's not optimized for mobile. So I was having to do weird things. I'm back.
I don't trust anybody who don't have an optimized for mobile website.
Yeah.
Just, it ain't right.
What's that finger thing you're doing over there?
I don't know. I have no idea.
He's got painter's finger.
I don't know what I'm doing.
So in the 1970s, Colombia becomes sort of just by geography, the hub of cocaine sales, right? So, I mean, it's already a prime place for smuggling marijuana into the States. So they were growing weed and smuggling it in. So there were already some small inroads of smuggling. And then the nations on, you know, surrounding it had coca trees and big plantations. And Escobar was smart enough to kind of look at the scale of everything and realize nothing is connected. Like, these people are growing coca trees and just selling the pulp, and then someone else is buying it and smuggling it to a big city. Someone there is refining it into cocaine. They're selling it to someone else who's, you know, smuggling it into the U.S. And he was like, I could just fucking do all this shit. And really, he's the founder of what we would consider the first drug cartel, because he starts from the plantation to the motherfucker in New York's nose, like, straight line.
Farm to table.
Yeah, farm to table. fucking service is what he comes up with.
Single origin.
Yeah, single origin table. Shade grown cocaine. Yeah.
Single origin.
So
Free trade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's free trade. Yeah. There was a guy named Fabio Restrepo, who was one of the main drug traffickers in 1975. He ends up being killed by Escobar, and Escobar takes his entire operation, and that's when he starts to transform it. So once he knows, like, once he's got this little operation that he purchases, he's able to fucking get coca paste from Bolivia and Peru, get it processed in the big cities, get it shipped to America. And this is sort of the birth of the Medellin cartel. And it's pretty much him and his brothers and his closest friends, like, taking power and it wasn't even that they had to take a bunch of power. Like, they built it from the ground up. They killed that one guy to take his operation, and then
ballsy as fuck, though, because he was nobody at that point. He was just like regular drug dealer.
Yeah.
And that was him, sort of, but not quite as cool. Yeah.
That was the closest thing to him that existed.
And he's young as fuck, too.
Yeah.
He does that shit. I don't know. He's like 20 and says to all the employees of that guy, you work for me now. Yeah. Like a fucking movie. like the movie got that shit from him.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is just so fucking gangster, dude. Like if things had gone different, he could have been like a Stalin.
It's gangster. Yeah. Like, cause he's a gangster.
He got elected to Congress. If that one dude hadn't fucking called him out.
Yeah. He would have,
he would have been president of Colombia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it would have, he was on the fast track. So, that was in 75. So he was 25 at the time when he fucking took that over and had his vision.
I think the guy, Michael Sarr, if it wasn't for Michael Sarr calling him out and politically in front of everyone, then he would have gotten away with it.
So he ends in 76 when he's 26, he marries a 15-year-old
named Maria. No, it was Megan Kohler.
Was that her name?
Megan Kohler.
They have two children together, a son and a daughter.
What was his daughter's name?
It was Sammy Grange and Jeff Lindley. They had different last names.
Yeah, they did. That's crazy. Yeah.
Different moms. Yeah, but they kept their last names.
Yeah,
it was Escobar Grange.
And they adopted one baby, Nick Housen.
Big baby.
He didn't survive though.
Mm-mm. Oh,
his dick fell off.
Too much cocaine.
Yeah. Case of the coke dicks.
It's a hell of a drug.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It just runs off.
Yeah.
Yeah. The constant sniffles. Matter of fact, that was his
nickname.
That's
how you do it.
So he ends
patreon.com /SofaKingPodcast, right. Ladies and gentlemen,
he ends up building up the, cartel. And again, it wasn't even, that's what I found trippy about it. It wasn't like this, because every time you read about some gangster, it's like the whole story is who they had to murder to consolidate power. But there wasn't.
Right.
Like there wasn't such a thing. He was just acquiring individual operations. I'm sure they were all murdered and whatever, but it wasn't like there was like the big guy to get rid of to take over the cartel. He was building this shit from the ground up.
Did you see his in-house security like infiltration system?
No.
It was Cartel Pro. You didn't see that?
Stupid.
So through the 80s,
up.
It should have been a car phone company. That's what it should have been. Cartel.
Car phone company.
Yeah.
Stupid.
It would have been better than whatever the fuck that was.
I just wanted to pause awkwardly for a while.
That's good.
So through the 80s, it starts to expand. And by the mid 80s, Escobar controls 80% of the cocaine getting smuggled into the United States.
And that shit was worth so much money, depending on where you got it.
Oh, well, yeah. And that was like the height.
Oh, that was the height of the fucking cocaine. Yeah. Well, and it explains why. I mean, this is why it was the height of cocaine madness, because it was easy to get.
Yeah, they're pumping it in.
And it was popular in Hollywood, and like fucking movie stars were buying it. Johnny Carson was joking about it on TV.
In New York.
$60,000 for a kilo or some shit.
Yeah.
And rich fucking stars were like, fuck it.
Fuck it, do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Got $1 million for that movie. Like,
More than 15 tons of cocaine were smuggled into the United States a day, meaning that the cartel was making $420 million a week just on the United States.
Fuck.
How many tons
ridiculous.
A day?
15
tons were reportedly smuggled in each day.
That is a fucking ton. That's 15 tons.
Yeah. One of the things that I read is that one way that he would get the cocaine in early on, and there was a whole bunch of ways. He fucking owned submarines, all kinds of shit. But he would take commercial airline tires. So any commercial airplanes that were leaving out of Colombia, he would have people at the airport that worked for him fill the tires with cocaine. And apparently the pilots would know, because it would throw the weight off.
Right.
So they had to let the pilots know. So the pilots would know, and they would make up to $500,000 for doing one cocaine tire run.
Yeah. How are you not going to do that?
Yeah.
That was the thing, is because he had,
and that
so
wasn't
much
just Colombians. That's just some fucking dude flying this plane.
Yeah. They would tell any pilot.
Yeah.
That's so much money back then too.
Ridiculous.
That's so much money now.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, even back then it's even,
think what wouldn't you do right now if I told you I had $500,000?
No,
yeah. There's almost nothing.
I'd cut your titties off and put in your ear. Like, fucking $500,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, and all you have to do is, I mean, you're just, not, it's you're not like it's strapped anything. To my body. No. I'm just flying the fucking plane. Yeah. You know, it's like, because, and the, again, the only reason they, that I can ration that the pilots had to know is because the weight would have been off.
Yeah.
Like they had to just know there's all this extra weight.
Well, they put it in straight in planes too, though. They would just
pack. Oh yeah. They would just pack it in planes. He bought a Learjet. He had so much money. He bought a Learjet just to travel his money.
Yeah, they didn't count in the money. They weighed the money. Yeah.
He's like the, the Colombian Scrooge McDuck. Like this was like...
His fucking... Me money bin.
Yeah.
He had so much... So this is... I started to just look at how much money he had and what he did with his money. His main house was called Hacienda Napoles. There was a private zoo with hippos, giraffes, elephants. Like his kid growing up, like as an adult, his kid said, like, I felt like my entire childhood was Disneyland. Well, like said, there was a zoo on there. There's still there's those animals still exist like around in the fuck like where the house.
They
was.
Would just go to private reserves and buy stuff like an ostrich or whatever. He said to the point that I watched an interview with the Sun because the Sun just released a book. He wrote a book. He's about released his two, dad, yeah. And then I watched most of the movie, My Father Sins, or Sins of My Father. But yuck, you can't do anything else. That shit's all subtitled. You can't look away. Right. You can't even take fucking notes because it's subtitled. You have to read the whole
thing. Let me write that name down.
Yeah, like,
what do you do?
Yeah,
pause. Yeah,
my Spanish is not that good. But he said that it got to the point that there was no animal they didn't have and there was nothing left to buy. Because he would buy like the fucking swamp thing boat, you know, like the what are those boats called? Those jet boats with a big fan on the back. And they would fucking drive those around. Then you got jet skis and then fucking quads and three-wheelers and motorcycles.
Yeah, he had the Miami Vice. Ferrari and
they
shit.
Had everything there that the point, and then the wife said she would buy art because an animal would die, the art would last forever. So she would buy art instead. And they would argue about that. But yeah, he bought every animal until find the sun said there was nothing left to buy or see or do.
Like fucking like Noah. He's the Colombian Noah is what he is. So he, the house was so elaborate and the all the animals, et cetera, that they ended up after his death, they turned it into a theme park. And it still is. And everyone knows it's his house. And there's like pictures of it. There's like big giant fake dinosaurs that kids can play on. His entire car collection is there and you can tour his car collection. But his entire home is now a theme park because it was so massive.
Pop quiz.
Yes.
How much a week did he spend on rubber bands for his cash?
Do you have that?
I have it, but I don't know where it is.
Brad looked up weird stats just now.
$1,000 a week.
Yeah.
To band up his money.
$1,000 a week on rubber bands.
Bands
just to fucking like
how many rubber bands could you buy with $1,000 a week?
Like how many people don't have $1,000 a week? Yeah. Much less I just need $1,000 in rubber bands for my money.
That's a fucking truckload of rubber bands.
Yes. Yep.
For every week.
One thing, again, fucking just like insane. The amount of wealth he had at one point when they were on the run, which has happened several times in his career. His daughter got sick, and in order to keep her warm through the night, he just burned money.
Yeah, $2 million. Yeah,
he burned $2 million to keep his daughter warm overnight.
Yeah, fucking trucks of it. It's silly.
Fuck. So,
someone just posted an ode to Brad Shrine on the,
that's weird.
On the internet. So yeah, it's nothing but Brad art and Brad stuff. I'll just say that's weird.
Yeah,
weird. Watch out.
So
they're hiding in the bushes, man.
Some of the other stuff he did in order to, he wanted to change the extradition laws so that no countries could come for him. And he ended up offering to pay off the nation of Colombia's national debt of $10 billion.
I read that was speculation. If they would change
the extradition laws.
Yeah, I read that was speculation. He never made that offer. So says he, but I don't know why you would deny it.
Right. Why would you deny it?
You'd be baller and say you did it, which they did change the extradition laws, like he won or whatever. But he said he never made that offer because they were
probably
saying
to
that,
stay low profile, though. Yeah. You don't want just because you have all that money doesn't mean you want people knowing you.
Yeah,
have
that's
money.
True. Or because you have that much influence over the government, you don't want people knowing that. So he was on the Forbes billionaires list of the world's richest people 7 years in a row.
He would travel to the United States and shit. There's pictures of him in front of the White House with his kids.
Yeah,
he would fucking check baggage with $1 million in his fucking suitcase. Like there was one instance where he had like 400,000, 700,000, one time $1 million. In a fucking suitcase that he checked, they looked at it, his real ID, his real passport, not fake names. Go on. Like, I guess, I don't know. What there has to be a rule about
that,
rich? Right? Yeah.
I mean, just got money.
Yeah,
you're like right now you do rich. That. You go through the fucking TSA with $1 million in your bag. What happens?
No. Yeah.
What do they do?
I have no idea. I have fuck like I will ever know.
Yeah.
What would they do? I wish I had that problem. Yeah. Like
I gotta save a little bit more, but I'll tell you fucking pretty quick here, pretty soon.
So at one point in the late 1980s, when the Colombians were starting to finally come after him, they seized in one seizing action, 142 airplanes, 20 helicopters, 32 yachts, 141 homes and offices, and two submarines.
On his little gate that led into his little zoo ranch, there was like a little druggy plane, like the little single prop fucking two wheel. Like that's what the plane was on the gate. Like when you went in, it was.
It's more than that. That plane, like one of the first smugglers that was a good friend of his, that was the plane he crashed and died in.
Oh shit.
So he had all the scraps of the plane hauled out of the rainforest and he had the plane rebuilt and put on the gate in memory of his fallen comrade. Yeah,
it was like an Air America plane.
Yes,
like
good that. Friend. Yeah. So 10% of his earnings went to spoilage in his storing centers, like just got either rotted from moisture, eaten by rats, like fucking just 10%.
Those rats were having a party.
Fuck yeah, they were. So just like ridiculous amounts of money. In 2009, some people discovered a hidden complex built in the jungle where a lot of his cocaine factories were that had $8 million in cash stored in them. And in 2015, Colombian farmer found $600 million in a field near Medellin after digging up land to start an oil plantation.
Oh, fuck. Does he get to keep it?
I don't know.
Are Colombian juggalos called jungalos?
I think they are.
Just checking.
I think they are.
They're Columbagos.
Yeah. So that's just, I mean, again, that's just the level of wealth he had. He had inconceivable amounts of money, and he didn't fucking have to pay taxes as if any other billionaires do. Right. He didn't have to, I mean, but there was just no worry. He didn't have to, like, he just fucking spent it on whatever the fuck he wanted to.
That's what I'm saying. Well, everybody's morals change in $1 million. So you can do anything. There's no one you can't tell what to do.
Yep.
And like he started killing cops, you know, when that stuff starts happening.
Yeah. Cause you have the police force in your pocket. Yeah,
exactly.
Like,
well, plus a lot of the economic, you know,
boost. Yeah.
Well, there's people that are like, there was the whole reason that started him when he was a child is he visited some shanty town and it was fucking horrible. Did you guys see that at all?
No.
There's like these giant trash piles and like, I don't remember how many people they said, but it was like, I don't know, 4,000
people poverty.
In a village. Yeah. The way that they sustained themselves was that all the restaurants and shit would go dump all their trash at this giant heaping trash pile. And all the families from that little thing would go every day and rake through all the fucking trash and pick food out of it. And that's how they would get their food for the day and go take it back to their hut. And he went home and cried. Like, he was young. He was like 12. And he said that he was going to build them a town. It was the same kind of like, you know, Stalin, all those stories where he was like, I'm going to take care of the people, which he did. He built fucking.
No, he did.
Like, people loved him.
No, yeah, people called him like the Robin Hood, like of Colombia. Mm-hmm. And he would build hospitals. He would build.
They would hand out money. They'd pull up in a truck and hand out stacks of $100 bills to fucking poor people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the side effect of that was anytime the federales would be looking for him, they would fucking come into a neighborhood. And it's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
He's the one that made that the saying, would you like silver or lead?
Yeah.
And if you don't take the bribe, we'll kill you.
Yeah. Yeah. It was plata o plomo, silver or lead. So like that was his political philosophy.
That's gangster. Yeah. That's such a cool statement.
You want silver or lead? Like, fuck off. Yeah. Like, those are your two options. Yeah. Like, either take the money and fucking shut up, or we're gonna fucking shoot your ass.
That's badass.
Yeah, no, I
just had an idea, but I can't say it because
you gotta sit on it.
No, somebody will steal it. Like fucking those snake motherfuckers that listen to our show.
So in 1982, he ends up getting elected into Colombia's Congress. And again, this is part of his ongoing, like, at heart, from a lot of the stuff that I read, he really wanted to legitimize. He really wanted to become the president. He really wanted to not be seen just as a criminal. He wanted to be in charge of like legitimate operations. Right. He wanted to be the fucking president. Like,
right.
He still did.
He told his wife, get ready to be the first lady.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, he got elected very easily, because everybody fucking loved him, because he was building houses for the poor. He was giving away money. He was doing all this shit. He established food programs. He built parks, football stadiums, etc. But 2 years after after election, like you talked about, the justice minister put him on blast because everybody was like, oh, there's this fucking really rich guy. And he like, because he's just kind of lived in the jungle and ran his empire. But he got put on blast publicly for being this criminal drug, you know, overlord.
And then Escobar tried to come back and sue him for slander. Like he tried.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, he said like he has a 24-hour period to prove any allegations or else he's going to serve time for slander. And he went about it for a long, long time. And the dude's like, yeah, that's not going to work. I'm not backing down.
Right, right.
Which fucking didn't work out.
And this is said to really be that move, the move to Congress, is really what people think led to the end of it. Because as soon as he was made public, the United States, even though they had to already fucking know who this guy
was. There's huge stuff. I couldn't get into all of it, that he's a CIA agent.
Yeah,
that he
tons
was
of stuff on
funded
that.
By the CIA. Like, it's that whole thing about the crack epidemic.
Yeah.
That comes into play.
And here's
play.
The, like, from the stuff that I read, because I saw a little bit of that and I wanted to look into it. And a lot of, and it's even a claim that his son makes that he had connections with the CIA, but his son never went as far as saying he was a CIA operative.
Right.
He just
I don't think he was.
He was too large for that. But he had dealings with the CIA. The CIA was buying cocaine from him.
Yeah. They so were letting they could, it. They were allowing it to come in the United States. This is the basis of the crack.
See how much money
well, according to his son, they were buying it from him. Like
they
did.
The CIA spent what? $200 million or something on cocaine or whatever. Right. Like,
and they got it. 80% of it came from him. I mean,
why doesn't the CIA
speaking,
just counterfeit money? Is it because it's going to like cause inflation to
they
such
don't,
a great
They
amount?
Don't own
like,
the money. The we don't
counterfeit
own,
money. I understand that.
Oh, counterfeit it. Yeah.
Yeah. They counterfeit the fuck out of it. Like you think they would just do? Well, instead of like killing people and selling coke in little planes and shit, getting caught like in 2007, a plane crashed with like fucking 40 tons of coke in it or something like by the CIA, they get caught all the time selling fucking coke.
That's true.
Like, couldn't they do something else? Like just fucking counterfeit some money? I don't know. It seems
build
like
build a chain of burger joints.
Well, the point is
come up with a really good invention like mustard and ketchup in the same bottle.
I mean, do they need to? Yeah.
Like peanut butter jars you could drink water out of in the middle of the night.
Pet rock.
You know? So
the point is it's not the money that they're doing. They're trying to they're doing something like with cocaine and stuff. They had reasoning why they, you know what I mean? Like they,
well, cause you can get a kilo for like $8,000 and sell it for $80,000 is the thing. Like the turnover is so crazy, but it seems like with all the resources and all the intelligence and all the crazy shit you have to go through, if the same effort was made towards like, hey, look, we figured out free energy or
it's the
like
same
thing.
Thing. You have people who are cops trying to be criminals.
Right.
It's the same thing. If you said, well, hey, that the fucking, these criminals are insanely smart. If they would have just took that and put it into making a good life for themselves,
right,
it'd have probably done really well.
Well, but the other thing is I think their plans are probably more complex than just needing money. I think they're trying to, I think they're trying to, you know, prop up, you know, the people who are dealing the drugs in order to weaken the government there.
It was funding and, war.
I mean, it wasn't just for the funding. I think the action of who was getting supported from the drug sale was, weakening
it,
like all the, all kinds of crazy shit. So I have no doubt that he was selling cocaine to the fucking CIA because the CIA was buying
cocaine somewhere
in the 80s and odds are they got it from him. They either got it from him or the other cartel, the Cali cartel, which had 20% of the market, and odds are it came from Escobar. That was how he got to fucking take a picture in front of the White House with his kid.
And he's just flying in fucking cocaine.
Yep. So once all this happens though, once he gets put on blast, for the politics, he ends up getting, a lot of pressure from the Colombian government and the United States government.
Cause no one had called him out. At that point, it was smooth sailing.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but at this point he has to start what a lot of the articles that I read called his reign of terror, because at this point he did have to start murdering like crazy to maintain his empire. So even though he didn't have to kill a bunch of people to build what he built, he, at this point he went fucking buck wild, making sure he kept what
he built. He had hitmen that killed upwards of 600 police officers.
Did you see that Popeye guy? Did you watch that?
Yeah, I saw stuff
that
on
guy's
the Popeye.
Crazy.
Yeah. So so one of the things is he ends up throughout this terror campaign to consolidate his power. Three presidential candidates of Colombia were assassinated by Escobar, an attorney general, 200 judges, 1,000 police officers, 4,000 journalists and other people. And at the same time, they think he killed another 7,000 members of the Cali cartel who were his enemies.
Yeah, they bombed 250 buildings. Like,
they bombed a fucking airplane.
With kids. Yeah, they didn't give a fuck.
No, it was a straight up
terror crazy.
Organization.
You say journalists. My sensei, my judo sensei, who I learned judo from, is from Bogota, Colombia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
And he actually fled Colombia. Like, he was a journalist and they were in danger.
That's crazy.
At around this time.
Right. Well, so. It was the entire country of Colombia was the world's murder capital for several years because of what was happening with the Medellin cartel and all that stuff. So, yeah, he blew up a Colombian jetliner in 1989. And all this starts to get Colombia at large turned against him. So even though a lot of people in, his area in Medellin love him because he's helping him out, the rest of the people are like, who is this fuckwit bombing planes, killing fucking presidential candidates? Like, this guy's got to be fucking stopped, right? So it starts to sort of turn the public opinion against him. That hitman you mentioned, Popeye, his name is John Jairo Velasquez. And did you see why his name is Popeye?
I don't know why his name is Popeye, but his story of how he got hired. Did you hear that?
I believe an eye popped out probably
with a spoon.
Pop someone's eye out
with a spoon.
He, nice. So he's just a guy. He's
Popeye.
He's unemployed. Okay. But somehow he knows where fucking Escobar's hideout is. So he drives to Escobar's hideout and says, I'm unemployed. I need a job. Kill me or hire me. I know where all your hideouts are. And he said, can you handle a weapon? He said, I can. He said, follow me. And then he pretty much ended up becoming his right-hand man.
Like,
and that dude just rolled into the jungle and said, I know where your hideouts are. Hire me or kill me. And he said, can you use a gun? He said, yeah.
That's admirable, though.
That's fucking, some ballsy shit.
And that was it, dude. And then he just started killing people. That guy killed like 300 to 500 people himself and was responsible for thousands of hits.
Man. Yes.
Yeah.
He did one of the presidential assassinations, supposedly. He did 20 years in prison and got out in 2014.
I heard it was 30. Well, he sentenced 30, but he got out in 20.
He got out in 20. Okay.
Free man. That motherfucker's he's still alive.
He's roaming around.
Oh, he's still alive. It's not just that he's still alive. If you do a search for remorseful Popeye and then look for YouTube videos, you'll find his YouTube channel where he has bizarre videos with like this little opening of a bullet spinning through the air. And apparently he talks about how he's remorseful for all of his murders. He doesn't look that old. He's in really fucking good shape.
He's a well-spoken guy. Yeah. Like,
but they're all in Spanish and it doesn't come up. It comes up for remorseful Popeye in Spanish, but that's the translation of it. I tried to watch some of them, but I couldn't even get.
Yeah. I watched a couple documentaries and it's all subtitled. So I got to see like his whole backstory, him personally telling that story, him telling a lot of crazy stories.
It's like even crazy. Like that's somebody's neighbor.
Even when they finally make their separate ways, like, cause he was his right hand man. He was the guy. He said that Escobar would sit and listen to the fucking radio when they were looking for him and shit. And he would just sit here with his hand on a fucking trigger with Pablo waiting to see like, how close are they? How close are they?
Right. And
he was the guy.
He
was the fucking guy. Yeah. So there was a director named Colin Offland, and he just did it just came out last year, a movie called Wildlands, and it's a documentary about the area and Escobar and all that. I still haven't seen it, but the director tracked down Popeye, got in touch with him after he had just gotten out of prison because he got out of prison in 2014. But Popeye had agreed to speak to him about different things on the documentary. So the director shows up in whatever town he was showing up in with his whole filming crew. They go, they check into the hotel. They call Popeye because they said, as soon as you check into your hotel, call me and we'll set up the rendezvous. And the director said that he called Popeye as soon as they checked in. It was the first thing that he did. And Popeye said, you're at such and such hotel. I'm already here.
Ooh,
like
damn.
He already knew exactly. Exactly where that was. He said that the director just said he was freaked the fuck out and thought he made a big mistake.
Yeah.
And he said that he told his entire film crew, like, look, he already knows we're here. Like, I don't blame any of you if you want to pack up and leave right now. I'm still going to pay you.
Right.
And the whole film crew was like, fuck it. Like what? I'm going to get out.
It's a once in a lifetime
like,
thing.
And yeah. It's like, what? I'm going to leave? He's just going to shoot me and he'll be the guy driving the cab. Like, there's no getting away from this man.
He already knows the three of you are leaving.
He already has our credit card numbers. Yeah. He knows where my kids live. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's damn, man. The fucking... Just the shit that guy has seen.
And the connections he still must have.
Oh, you know? Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. So shortly after this in 91, right, after the presidential stuff goes south and he doesn't end up being able to, Escobar can't run for president. In June of 1991, and I thought this was a fucking trip, he surrenders to the Colombian government. He surrenders directly to President Cesar Gaviria, and he surrenders so that they will lift any threat of extradition, because apparently all of the people that were close to him said that was his number one thing. I'm never going to get extradited to the States. I will not die in an American jail. I'll kill myself before anyone takes me out of Colombia. Like, that was his whole thing. So he did a lot of stuff trying to change extradition laws as much as possible so he'd never get hauled out.
Yeah, he said he had a 15-round magazine and 14 for his enemies, one for him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was his pretty much standard thing. So, but he turns himself in so that he doesn't, and he basically, the deal he makes is, I will quit doing crimes. Like, I will quit being involved in my organization.
It's just where he builds his own prison, right?
Okay. You can officially have me arrested and I get to build my own prison with my own money based on my own design.
With my own guards and with my own prisoners with me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he fucked, and they're like, okay, sounds good.
And I watched a video of it. It's pimped as fuck.
Like, oh, it is like, pimped as fuck.
It was super nice.
There's a casino, a spa, and a nightclub in his fucking prison.
It's the glamour tentury.
Yeah. It's called La Catedral. And he picked the guards. He picked the other prisoners. Basically, he just said, the deal was basically, I won't leave my resort that I'm building and you'll quit fucking with me.
Yeah. You know, I watched an interview with Popeye.
So Popeye was in that prison.
I watched an interview with Popeye, and he said that Escobar had two chicks at the same time while he was in that prison. He fucking said he watched beautiful women make love to each other and then made love to them. He just had chicks in and out of
there. I'm sure he did.
He got whatever he wanted. He would leave and go to fucking events and do whatever he wanted and then go back.
Right.
Like, he didn't stay in the prison.
Right.
Yeah.
But apparently
it was like a men's home.
Yes, basically. Giant, like, but apparently he was no longer running the cartel at this point. He was like, fuck it, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, so, but
that was he made a sandals resort in Colombia
basically
and then fucking and retired from the cartel. Like, yeah.
So that was makes sense. June of 91. In June of 92, the authorities attempted to move him to a regular prison and he was like, fuck off. And he made, like, everything says, so he escaped his prison.
Yeah.
What a fucking challenge.
Left.
Yeah. He left. He just fucking had his limo driver take him somewhere else.
He did it dramatic, like an 80s movie. He fucking, he blew up like the watchtower and shit. he left on a helicopter with a ladder.
Yeah.
He had a bunch of his people dig a big tunnel with spoons.
He had the gun of Rambo. Like on the ladder, hanging down. Yeah, it was the gold one, the gold fucking Rambo gun, you know?
The gun of Rambo.
He's like, do it again. Fuck. He's like, you fucked up.
He's like, cut. Fly me back over.
Land back. All right,
now we have to go to the south side. We already blew up the north tower.
I said I want a big fucking explosion, man.
Somebody move the jeeps. Yeah. God damn it.
Popeye, follow me.
You want something done, you have to do it yourself.
So... He ends
Viking-ish.
Up.
He did Viking.
Yeah, it was a little.
Viking-esque.
Hey man, I'm sick, man. I do. I got Matthew McConaughey. I got.
You always have that.
Yeah, I know,
you
man. Do.
That's how you always go. You always go NASCAR.
Even when I'm sick, man, I got.
I always go NASCAR and everybody.
So during this time, the cartel starts to crumble and lose its power because Pablo. It's like, again, it just speaks to his particular genius. Like, even though he built this entire infrastructure, as soon as he was removed from it, it instantly starts to crumble because the next guy can't pull off what he pulled off.
Right.
But so as soon as they try to do it, he ends up on the run for 16 months, like just bouncing from place to place in Colombia because he's not going to let himself get arrested. he and his family tried to seek asylum in Germany, and try to get out of the country to stay there. And they were like,
come on guys, nope. We let all your guys in.
Yeah, come on. We let all your criminals in here. It wasn't even that long ago.
Fuck off, Beaner.
Yeah. They were like, nope. So on December 2nd, 1993, the day after his birthday, in, Medellin, the city,
It's Medellin.
No, I think it's Medellin.
I think it's Medellin.
That's where the term meddling comes from. Yeah, you've been meddling, man.
Why are you meddling?
Yeah. Oh, you meddling.
Meddling in my affairs.
You're meddling in the wrong affairs.
So the federal police show up and try to, there's like a crazy escape on the rooftops. Like there's a firefight on the rooftops and everybody's running around on the roofs.
Because he stayed on his cell phone for too long.
Right.
That's all it was. Yeah, he knew how long he's supposed to stay on his cell phone.
He's probably tired.
Yeah, according to his son, he said his dad predicted his capture and that he believes his dad shot himself.
Yes.
And that they didn't do that. They didn't capture him there. It wasn't a pretty landing. I don't know why. If you're going to shoot yourself, I guess he went out with a blaze of glory, like shooting
at them and then shot himself. Yeah, because they do confirm, and his son as well, that he ran out and the chase on the rooftop happen.
Whatever.
But his son thinks it was.
But he was shot.
I know, but it was kind of a suicide by cop thing.
Shot through the ear, though.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like the one shot that killed him through the ear. That's where you do it.
Yeah. But he said two things. He said, one, he didn't want to be captured. And two, he thought he had told, because his son was 17 at the time, and he had told his son, like, if I get arrested, someone is going to take all of you as hostage, whether it's the government or whether it's another cartel. You guys are in danger if I'm in jail. And he thinks another reason he killed himself was to protect his family, because then no one gives a shit about Escobar's family because Escobar's dead. Right. But if Escobar was alive, there was still power to leverage and they would have tried to do some shit to his family. So that's another reason that his son thinks he might have killed himself. But at his funeral, more than 25,000 people showed up and they like mourned him as a saint.
They were opening the coffin and touching him and stuff.
Yeah. Not in a funny way.
No.
Like in a respectful.
Well, rigor mortis had said. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Instead of last rites, it was last masturbation.
A little strokey. Yeah.
So they put the family in police protection, all this stuff.
They thought it was a cigar in his pocket.
Yeah. He was just happy to see you. Yeah. One of the things that his son said in the book, so his son published a couple of books, and one was called Pablo Escobar, My Father. And he talks about his childhood growing up there. This is where he first said that he thinks his dad killed himself. And he talks about one case, or he talks about the fact that 800 kilos of cocaine were flown between Medellin and Miami International Airport every week, in complete collusion with drug officials. The drug officials in Miami knew 800 kilos of coke
were coming
every day or every week. And they were just like, that's cool. Let it in.
At the same time, though, like DEA agents had $300,000 bounties on their head. You know what I mean? So like, how are they doing that? Like, are those guys like, you motherfuckers? Like, they find out.
Well, it's because they're like, you have a bounty on your head. Well, fucking nobody's going to do it.
I think
unless you try and. Well, they did, I'm sure. But there's probably some guys that didn't give a shit.
Well, they
but
didn't know.
There's probably other ones that were like, well, you have a bounty on you. If you don't let this stuff go through, we'll let the bounty go through. You know what I mean? Like, as soon as something happens, it's fucking over for you.
Oh, right? That would make sense.
Yeah, Brad knows how to be a bad guy.
He does. Or it was just the one super fucking corrupt guy.
Right.
Like the fucking team in Miami just fucking worked for Escobar.
Yeah.
And they were just like, sure. Like,
there was a thing in Miami where so many cops were corrupt. Like 80% of the graduating class of the Miami police force was corrupt or something.
Yeah, but it's like
they had to fire everybody and start over.
$30,000 a year, and then because fucking some cartel dude comes over and says, hey, I'll give you fucking $1 million.
Right.
And you're going to do this, but you'll make $1 million a year.
Right. And all you have to do is not
turn your
look
head
into the container that comes in Tuesday.
Turn
at 3
your
m.
head.
Like, that's it. You don't have to do anything. Just call in sick next day.
And if anybody shows any interest, you kind of steer them in a different direction. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
But here's the thing. It's like, but it's even more than that. It's like the cartel is going to come up to you and say, you can, I'll look, how about I give you $50,000 and you call in sick next Tuesday, or we just kill you next Monday night.
Yeah.
Like
silver or lead.
Okay. I'll take the $50,000, please.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you're like, they don't give you an option. Like, you're either going to say, yeah, or you're going to fucking die. Like, if you've been targeted.
It's a blessing and a curse. Cause it,
well, this is how everybody in Miami got boats. I mean, everybody has boats. There's not one person in Miami that doesn't have a boat.
Just watch Miami Vice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Escobar bought all of them boats.
Hulk Hogan had a boat.
He did. He had a fucking dope boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know we're talking about boats.
You don't know what we're talking about? You never saw the Hulk Hogan fucking superboat show?
Yeah.
It was fucking dope, dude. I can't remember what it was called.
Brother.
I got to find out. I have to find out.
I just can picture the boat and the fucking
Hulk Hogan
riding on the
boat
side.
TV show.
Oh, what was it called?
Dave's like an old man. He talks into like the screen.
Yeah.
Or into the fucking earpiece.
The earpiece.
I just have a shitty phone.
No, you do like a walkie-talkie. The microphone's in the bottom of the phone.
Thunder in Paradise.
Yeah. Oh,
that does sound familiar.
Yeah.
It was dope. Yeah, I fucking loved that shit.
Him buying boats or something?
It was he rode on a boat.
He fought crime in a superboat.
Oh, it was a show.
Yeah, fuck yeah, it was.
Yeah.
He fought crime in a superboat, dude.
They don't have shows like that anymore.
No, Hulk Hogan fought crime in a superboat.
There's the boat right there. It's like the stealth fighter of boats.
Oh, damn. Yeah. I'll look that up tonight.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, you'll be disappointed.
Or will I? I love Nicolas Cage, for the record.
Oh, you know what? This guy is in it. Yeah. But who doesn't
that the
love
cop from Terminator?
Yeah. Who doesn't love Nicolas Cage? Like, oh shit.
Oh, you're spilling whiskey.
Did you guys know there's like a Nicolas Cage like what's it called? Like Uncaged. Every year there's a thing called Uncaged. Some guy at a bar started this thing where they watch a fucking 24-hour marathon of Nicolas Cage movies, and they call it Uncaged. And they promise that he might show up this year, and he fucking showed up last year.
So they uncaged them.
Yeah. So like you buy a ticket, you show up at the bar, you drink and watch Cage movies, and he fucking showed up to it.
They must have lost their shit.
Yeah, he fucking showed up.
Oh,
that's badass. That's cool. That's cool.
Everybody in the bar's face just came off.
Yeah.
Right there. It's just like, holy shit.
They just eat peaches all night.
You know what though? Nicolas Cage, he can't deny.
You just called him Nicolas Cage.
That's his brother. That's his black brother. Brother from another mother. Nicolas Cage.
Cage, you Nicolas, son.
He doesn't have any black friends. That's
It's Nicolas Cage doesn't have any black friends.
Oh, man.
The whitest guy you know. Whitest guy in Hollywood.
Nicolas Cage and Nicolas Cage.
Man, there's no meme for that one, I guarantee you. Not yet.
I don't think there is.
There is now.
That's fucking awesome.
There will be by Friday.
And apparently, have either of you guys watched Narcos on
I started
Netflix?
To watch it, but that's not some shit you can watch with your kids.
No.
Yeah, because I've heard good things about it. Like, people say it's a great show and it's about Escobar and all this stuff. But there apparently his brother, Roberto, who was one of the he was there the whole time. He was part of the Medellin cartel. He helped found it. I'm sure he killed a bunch of motherfuckers, etc.
No credit.
He's not no credit. He's fucking pissed off. And he's getting ready to sue Netflix for $1 billion because the show is inaccurate. And the main gripe that he has is that apparently the show focuses
on... He's not in it.
Right. Well, the show focuses on the fact that Pablo's main accountant was secretly a CIA agent.
Right.
And Roberto was his main accountant. And he's pissed off because it's inaccurate.
Slander.
He's like
slander. He's just trying to get money now.
I did all the math.
Trying to get money now.
He's like, I'm an accountant. And by my calculations, I would get a lot of money if you give me $1 billion. Plus, I totally fucked so many more bitches than they show in there.
Yeah.
That dude had shrinkage when you show the nude scene. I don't look like that.
And he was not like the main Escobar was not a good looking man.
And he's like, that dude had 2 inches. I got at least 4.
Cold.
Maybe 5 on a good day.
See, I was.
They call me Cinco. That dude's like, dos. Fuck out of here.
I knew him. He didn't even come around.
So the other thing that I questioned, though, is like, I questioned some of the stuff that his son said in the book. because he's written like two books that are like bestsellers in Colombia. And I'm like, is this shit real? Like, are you just blowing shit all out of proportion to fucking make it look better and to make your dad look better, to make you look better, to make it more.
You know what they did?
Well, there's a lot of thinking though. Like,
he also had a crazy, like, he's killed motherfuckers if they fuck with his coke. Mm-hmm. But his family, he was like, hey, let's go to Disneyland. I'm going to go on every fucking ride.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to sit at Denny's and I'm going to color the fucking maze with you right now. Like, he was super dad.
He was good.
Though.
Yeah. He was a good guy.
Super that's about family.
That's the thing though. Like, his son was probably pretty protected and probably didn't see a lot of stuff. Like, there's a lot of things. Like, I think my dad shot himself, right?
Well,
I think
it's confusing for someone to have sociopathic tendencies and then just fucking love their family though.
Right.
You know, like, how he do you have one or the family. Other? Yeah. Like, yeah. There's that.
Yeah.
But they did say, he said his dad was the best cheater ever, that if he knew they were going to play Monopoly at the end of the night, his dad would sneak and get the Monopoly box, open it up, grab a bunch of 500s, hide them under the edge of the rug where he knew he was going to sit, put it back, and put the box back in the cabinet. They would eat dinner. It's like 6 hours later. Everybody thinks they're opening the box for the first time. And then, like, dad would never run out of money. Like, they knew he was fucking cheating.
I just always play the banker.
So you can
get all the money. Yeah.
If you had $55 billion, you could probably just buy a second Monopoly box.
He just has it and
just carry it around.
Just have the money ready.
He's got it stashed.
His wife's all, honey, why is there all the Monopoly money in your sock drawer?
Honey, why are there two thimbles in the Monopoly box? This does not make any sense.
What are these funny dice?
He's got bands around the Monopoly money, like, just stacked up in his sock drawer.
He told Popeye, I need Monopoly money. How much? 5,000 kilos of Monopoly money. 500s only.
He lost interest in real money because it's just jaded.
He doesn't even care about it. Yeah. He's burning. Yeah. Instead of burning Monopoly money, he's burning a million real dollars.
10% of it was eaten by rats.
Yeah. It's just Monopoly money was worth more to him than to play with his family. Just fucking stacks on stacks of Monopoly money in the closet. They raid his house thinking they're going to find a bunch of money. It's just Monopoly money in there. It's everywhere.
So yeah, I was in all the research that I did though, like, it was really surprising because I wasn't like, there weren't a ton of like specific instances of like the murders he did or of the, I mean, it was, and I think it was just because it was so fucking overwhelming.
Yeah.
It was just like,
he killed a thousand
police officers.
He didn't, do you want a fucking list? He was the general.
He paid somebody to do it.
Yeah, and I'm sure he killed plenty himself.
Yeah.
But yeah. And again, that's why in the States, the RICO Act is there, because if you can link a hitman all the way back up to his orders, then you can.
I saw a guy quote that he was so unpredictable. It was so hard to tell what the fuck he was going to do. The only thing you could predict was that if he said he was going to kill somebody, they were dead. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's the only predictable thing, is that if he said they were dying, they were going
to
die.
Yeah.
That's
if he was thirsty, you didn't know what he was going to have to drink.
Right.
Definitely not that bitter ass fucking
malore
Adam fucking Fletcherman.
Felderman.
Felderman.
Yeah, Fletcher face.
Yeah, so no, I was tripping out on Escobar. I had no idea how rich he was. I had no idea how much power he had. And I thought it was just going to be like this crazy, violent rise to the top. And he just fucking killed off one dude and just fucking built all this from. It's like every single drug cartel that has come after Pablo Escobar has basically been a shitty, you know, version of Pablo Escobar.
Well, it was the guy before him.
Right.
Like,
right.
He owned it all. Yeah.
Like, now it's broken up into multiple cartels, et cetera. But
that's
at the time,
nobody's got the balls to run everything, you know, like,
or the smarts, maybe.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe he was just that fucking good at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And he just, there was no competition because he fucking owned. I mean, what competition is there for someone who owns the entire marketplace?
There's still competition in Monopoly. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah.
Even your son can give you a run for the money.
Yeah, he had a monopoly on the coke industry.
Yeah. Well, he was worth, was it Monopoly money that he was worth
or real money?
Like, we don't know.
That's how he found out. Yeah. He didn't even know what Monopoly was. And they're like, you have a Monopoly, sir. He's like, would you say I had a plethora of cocaine? No, you'd have a Monopoly. He's like, what is this? And it's a game. They sell in America. And then they got it for him. And he's like, I must win.
Let me see this game.
Let me see the Park Avenue and the Boardwalk. That's the one, right? That's
I want an Escobar edition of Monopoly. Yes.
That would be funny.
That'd be the fucking shit.
Yeah.
Somebody's
Park Place is his mansion.
Yeah.
Just reading
you got caught selling a kilo of cocaine. Go straight to jail.
Fuck. It's the luxury gel.
Yeah, the luxury gel.
Exactly.
Yeah. if you roll snake eyes, you can get out for the turn. Like
instead of the railroads, it's the airplanes. It's like the CIA drug trafficking. Yeah.
Popeye didn't have a spoon to pop a man's eye out. Go directly to jail.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. I wish I spoke Spanish because I looked at a lot of the Popeye videos on his YouTube channel and I really wanted to know what he was saying, but I just couldn't.
Yeah. He was like, that guy cried and begged me for his life.
Just go to Home Depot on a Saturday with your phone and I'll tell you what's up.
Ooh, that's a good video. We should do that.
Well, hey, man, you want to make 10 bucks? You don't even have to build a fence or anything, man. I'm not going to make you stand my car.
Many friends of mine.
Just translate this. Then they'd be like, no, it's better at Home Depot. Like, they'd give you the real dirty shit. Like, they'd be like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck is this?
So I know you're going to say fuck off probably. Dave will probably be down with it. I think this is funny. Someone wants us to go ghost hunting, and I think it would be fucking funny to film us.
I already said that.
To film us ghost hunting.
Sure.
Where are we hunting?
Ghosts.
No, where?
I don't know.
Ghosts are not a place,
sir. They better be scary as fuck, because I don't believe in ghosts. Like, I think that...
There's that insane asylum in Tehachapi. It's all, I don't
know. Anyone who could give us access to some shit like that.
I don't know. We got to break in. That's even better. Because then we got to watch for cops and ghosts.
The two most haunted places in Bakersfield are supposed to be the Fox Theater and the Haberfeld House, but they're difficult to get into.
Fox Theater, I bet I
can. Well, we can get in the Fox.
You know, in downtown Bakersfield, there's one of the taller buildings is the Haberfeld building.
Mm-hmm.
But the Haberfeld family built a house in Westchester and it's supposed to be like super.
Is it the one that always has the fucking metal scaffolding around it? That's supposed to be haunted too.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
There's plenty of haunted places in and around Bakersfield. We would just need to get the equipment and the permission.
Yeah. Well,
I've got some of the equipment. We would just need more equipment.
I have a flashlight.
Yeah, that's all you need. You just got you loosen it and you ask questions.
See, that's why things get mucked up. You start getting stupid meters and stuff. You don't need that shit.
I just think I say we go for it all the way. I don't believe in it at all. I think it'd be funny. I'm not saying I won't be fucking scared. You guys are gonna laugh.
You don't even watch scary movies. Like, you're fucking.
That's because of gore. I don't care about the fucking going looking for ghosts. I don't want to see.
Well, what are you
gonna
do when I
things?
Kill Dave? Are you gonna be afraid of that?
Yeah,
too?
That would be a fucking problem. Yeah.
And the only thing that we'll need to get is a decent recorder, which I'm sure we can use our phones. And we'll need like a. I don't have a. Thermometer.
No, I think you need a tape recorder.
Like
though.
You need like a distant thermometer, like a laser thermometer.
Where I have one.
You can
get the Harbor Freight 10 bucks.
I got one. No,
I think we need body.
I've got the EMF readers. I've got.
I said we get body cams and shit. It's just all.
The ones with the
snot in my nose and shit.
The ones
crying.
With the selfie stick like that stays in front of us. Like, oh my God. I seen it.
The thing is, I think it's only going to work if we also make sure we bring a couple other people who are going to be scared shitless.
I'll be fucking scared. I'm
but the more scared.
So we need to bring two more girls.
Yeah, we need.
Hi, man.
Brand, two more girls.
Ghost hunting with two chicks at the same time.
We need
looking for ghost loads. Doing ghost anal.
Oh, we should go. We should do it at Manzanar.
Mm.
What's that? Sounds like Zanzibar.
Mm.
Less fun than Zanzibar.
What's Manzanar?
The Manzanar. Japanese internment camp.
Where the fuck
What's
is that?
That?
Japan?
Yeah.
Fucking in California? Oh. Japanese internment camp where the Americans
where they stashed
locked
all,
up the Japanese?
Where they stashed all the Japs.
War. Yeah.
Can we get it? Is it haunted? That's not haunted.
It's got to be fucking haunted.
I don't want to get sniped. Like, that's all I'm saying.
They're not there anymore.
They're not there anymore?
No. No, we'll find some place. We just need to get some equipment and find a place and get access.
It'd probably be pretty easy
to get access just because Ghost Hunters made it popular.
Oh, so. Someone did it there already?
Well, no, I'm just saying that it's like...
Probably like, what's in it for them, though? Is it a tourist attraction?
Maybe. I don't know. Publicity, something.
Yeah. All right. Let me say things.
Say things. All so right. Who did you sneak into the narrative today? Like all in 30 seconds.
That's how it's done, man. You get her done. Yeah, some of those names were fake, obviously. Michael Sarr, Megan Kohler, Sammy Grange, however I said that on the spot, I don't know, Jeff Lindley, and Nick Housen. Are actually Patreon supporters that I snuck into Pablo Escobar.
A 30-second segment.
It was easy, man. Worked out. There was some family stuff happening there. But there's your double shout-out.
Yep.
So that happened. Thank you to everyone that went on to iTunes in the last couple weeks and gave us reviews. We went from like 204 reviews to 290 reviews.
Damn.
And we have been steadily on the top 200 of comedy podcasts on iTunes, which is a really big deal. There's probably thousands, tens of thousands of comedy podcasts on there. And to be in the top 200 is huge. So thank you for helping us get there. That's super cool. We're 181 or something today, which it's funny. I'm like jaded now. I'm sad. I'm like, dang it, we're 125, 181. Like literally on days we're beating Bob and Tom and Ricky Gervais and shit. Yeah. It's like, I don't understand. But it's really volatile. It fluctuates. So thanks to those who have given us reviews. If anyone else hasn't yet, go give us a review. If you've got the time, we really appreciate it. You can just give the rating. Just 5 stars is all you need to do. And then you can leave. You don't have to say anything clever. But that really helps us.
Yeah. I don't really care about ratings. So I really just want you to go patreon.com/SophieGingPodcast.
What Brad doesn't understand, though, is that the more people that give us ratings, when people see that we get on that page, you get exponentially more popular because that's where people find it.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, well, what I'm trying to get to, asshole, is that that's that more Patreon people that could give you your fucking dollar.
I don't want them.
Yeah. I don't understand.
I like our fans that we have. Yeah. I want to keep like a cozy family.
I fucking love them, man.
Yeah.
Thank you to everyone in the chat room.
The thing is, like, when we do the Kool-Aid, it's cheaper.
That's true.
The more we have, we got to buy a lot of Kool-Aid.
I'm doing Flavor Aid, and it's only 15 cents. Yeah,
Flavor Aid's cheaper. And
not anymore. Where are you getting Flavor Aid 15 cents pack at?
Once they're in the cult, though, they give you all of their worldly possessions, and you can afford more Flavor Aid.
That's true. True.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, okay, we're good.
Also, we do still have a web store. People quit buying shit. What'd you get? Where are you guys at? You guys were all begging for a web store. We got t-shirts and mugs and stickers and fucking koozies and all kinds of shit on there. What are you guys doing, man? It's been real quiet.
And
I haven't been packing any boxes this month.
Not to say that. Like, a lot of people bought stuff, but we still have stuff remaining. And we'll probably do a sale or something. But in order to... We have other products we want to put out, but if they're going to set, you know, it's whatever.
We'll throw a couple cells up this week. How about that? And then
if we can get rid of some of this stuff out. Yeah, we'll get some new stuff in. I got some shirt ideas. We have a lot of stuff that we want to get out there.
Look for a sale.
Yep.
Patreon. Got that.
Sponsors.
Lax and Love Us. Definitely sponsors. I'm trying to make sure we got everything.
We did.
You did sponsors?
No, I did not.
We did.
Okay. Oh, thanks for the bottom shelf, fucking down left corner in the shadows, Adam fucking Fletterman. Thank you, though.
I knew it was going to be bad with the fucking screw on top. It's already bad news.
And I also drank some Josh Haney Pendleton tonight.
You drank some of him?
Yeah. And thank you, Sid Melvin, for your Tesla beer. If you guys want to try what we tried, it's called the Tattered Prince. If you have a, what's that beer place?
BevMo.
BevMo. I don't know if that's a thing everywhere, but we have BevMo.
That's the big chain of.
Yeah. We're fancy beers.
If you have a specialty. If you have a beer, wherever the beer snobs go, they'll probably have something like that.
I've also been thinking, what if we got everyone to go tell like King Cobra that they've been drinking King Cobra because we told them?
Yeah. We need to do that.
We do something like stick our army on one.
Yeah. We want King Cobra. Like for Dave loves beer.
I still think like Top Ramen, but I don't eat Top Ramen, and I don't want to have to say the other one. It's fucking Marashan or whatever.
It's Mission
See,
tortillas.
But I only eat
it. I like tortillas better than Top Ramen.
You don't eat Top Ramen brand. You eat Top Ramen?
I eat Top Ramen.
That's the shitty one, though.
Top Ramen's better.
Top Ramen's the good one. Yeah.
Well, maybe I just haven't tried it since I was fucking little. I buy the other one.
The other one has like fatter noodles, and they taste funny.
All right, I'll go buy some Top Ramen tonight.
Top Ramen's where it's at.
And if so, we could do yakisoba, though. That shit's really good. Have you had that?
The bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like instant noodles, though.
I think we need to all figure out who we're going to do, and then we'll get in the group, and we'll have like 600 fucking people.
Jessica Alba. I want to do her.
We're going to contact Jessica Alba. We need one more girl, so it'll be two chicks.
We need a sponsor for our podcast, and by sponsor Jessica Alba, I mean, will you sleep with Brad?
Well, you said who we're going to do.
Yeah, you're right, man.
But I wanna, you said it. I wanna just, we're looking for a sponsor?
The whole army, have them send like messenger, or find out the fucking email that's the guy. They just have a fucking subject, fucking Sofa King podcasting.
Actually, you probably should have a more suitable guest would be Nicolas Cage. That's our next guest.
I would take my face off.
My nipples would come off.
I would eat a peach for hours.
Dave would be Nicholas.
He wouldn't be Nicholas anymore. He couldn't be Nicolas Cage. He'd become friends with Dave.
Yeah. We could help him with that, everyone.
Oh, shit. Before I start laughing and crying.
Do the sponsor so we can go home.
All right. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. You can log onto their website. You can use code SOFAKING. You can find them anywhere on the internets. Go check them out. Thank you.
You can search SOFAKING and find El Yucateco.
You can.
Fucking amazing.
It is. Thank you to PrintDirtCheap.com. You can go there and have them make you tattoos if you're still scared to get a SOFAKING tattoo. We promised we were going to thank those people, and we did not find that shit.
I said two. I don't know who the other one is.
I don't think you did, though.
Steve Salbo and Bob Atwood.
Did Steve get one?
I don't know. Steve? You said he did.
I didn't say that. You said that.
It's you said that.
It's on tape.
You told
me. It's on tape.
I know. I said it, but you told me he did. So, Steve, if you didn't, you better go out and get it so I'm not a fucking liar, you motherfucker.
No, Steve's working on one. Oh, it's in the works. It's secret. He didn't get it yet. No. Are we so famous that we didn't even fucking remember someone who got our tattoo?
I don't know. It's fucked up, I haven't been on social media. I've been painting. Either. Painting. That's all I
put all of this on you.
Well, so go to Print Dirt Cheap and get some fake tattoos. You won't be nearly as cool as these other guys whose names I fucking promise we'll have next time. And if you want to get fake tattoos, you can save some money.
Get a tattoo.
It's not lazy. It's absent-mindedness.
I'm just saying we're all too lazy to like hit pause, look it up, and then come back.
We don't cut the show like that. That's not how this works.
We only pause when Brad's hands get out of control while he's laughing.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. I'm like the Will Robinson robot. Danger. Fucking hands flying.
You can't help it.
Yo Gabba Gabba fucking Roby. Like,
he accidentally jerks off.
We brush our teeth. We brush our teeth today.
If this was on video. Yeah. So where the fuck was that? Print Dirt Cheap. Thank you to Digital Creations for our coffee mugs. We do sell those on our website. And I really want someone to go buy some weird shit. I want someone to order a fucking Manson blanket or some kind of fucking get the Auschwitz blanket. Get some crazy shit.
Unit 731 blanket.
Unit 731 nice. Blanket.
That's a bunch of dead Chinese people on my blanket. That's what I want.
Get one of our cover arts on there. Get a big ass fucking SK blanket. Yeah. But they sell all kinds of crazy
dick and ball pillows. She can make them.
All kinds of stuff on blankets, mugs, whatever. Clocks. I mean, fucking mouse pads. They make all kinds of crazy shit with heat press. So hit them up. It's Digital Creations. They're on social media, Facebook, Instagram. If you can't figure it out, hit me up on Messenger and I'll get in contact. Thank you to DeLeon Graphics. Damn, I want to say Dark Side Graphics. That's hard to do because it's another D. Kevin Punky Brewster, we still love you, buddy, wherever you're at.
You got a lot of D on your mind.
Yeah, I think about the D. I do. Thank you to DeLeon Graphics. You know, we thank him all the time. He does make fucking t-shirts and koozies and shit. If you have a band or some type of organization that needs t-shirts, he can ship those shirts. So
hit him up. You have like a shitty band or a fucking horrible organization that nobody cares about.
There you go.
Yeah, promote it.
12 shirts, 144 shirts, 7 shirts. Yeah,
one shirt.
Yeah.
Make them work. Make them work.
One shirt's gonna
order 100 shirts one at a time.
Nice.
Make them work. Like where he has to redo the screen, like wait a month, you know, make him redo the screen again. Yeah, make them work.
Don't do all that, but buy some. You know, if you need something, that's a guy. DeLeon Graphics and send him a dick pic with the artwork. Thank you to Dan Camarillo.
You get 10% off if you send him a dick pic with artwork.
You get 15%.
I guarantee.
We'll make it happen. Just let us know you made the order.
Thank you to Dan Camarillo. You can log on to armhunter.com. He does sell instructional DVDs, booty shorts, shirts, gis, all kinds of stuff on there. So thank you to Dan. Check out armhunter.com. And that is all I have.
That's all I got, too.
All I got.
All right.
Wieners.
What's a paniner? What is it? The weenies.
Okay. Send us a picture of your weenies.
I have panini.
Your weenie.
A weenie. Show us that.
I'm not asking for that. I asked for specifically a weenies.
A weenie is an Italian weenies.
What the fuck?
You got a paninis? You got a paninis? That's a wiener on a sandwich. It's a paninis. So shit hurts when it gets made.
Yeah.
All right, don't be a retard.
Nod your head till I bend you with a picture, puck it like the auditories of corporate glory suffice.
You ain't nice.
You like fake dice, caught by work release, ice grilling villains, villain to make a killing. Killing metal felons, like a joke from God spilling your stomach lining for just a fistful of kind. And I climbed in your head, kicked around your mind and said by four, these are the weakest design limbs. Infrared,
in raincoats or plain clothes. You can brainstorm all day and weathermen remain bone. Dry, I'll quiz you to see where your mind's at. Whatever the IQ, I'll multiply myself 12 times that. You're assuming I'm human, that's your first mistake. When verse can make the earth's crust burst and perforate. So just imagine if all seven bust. It'll cause Satan's soul to shake and the golden gates of heaven rust. And that talk was I'm brought to start a trend. I was seeing if my thoughts could split the sea apart again. From now to the hereafter, my lungs lunge punch to crush queer rappers and fear laughter. The most dominant copyright. Once the Flemish launched, your fans' attention's lost. And they focus on every song I'm ever mentioned on. There ain't a man on this fucking planet Earth I fear. Brainstorm into my ears, nose and mouth, word ideas. The best man proving in front of you, your fans booing. This is the fifth time we battle. What are you, deaf and stupid? It's confusing to those spitting bad jokes. I was given life in a test tube by scientists in lab coats. Got speed in sessions. You call that a verse? I thought that was your Gilbert Gottfried impression. Forfeit, or I be forced to scorch shit. Then mush your face in a pile of horseshit. I torture kids, the contortionist. Bless the less fortunate. How so many crabs, you mistook my rest for an orphanage. To pull a burn them on his tooth is useless. I hold your arms while Kate stabs you with a mouthful of toothpicks. The most dominant copyright never the age of freeze.
With your taste buds ripped out and thrown in a jar of jelly.
Yo, kids, that's tripped out.
Pedal through medical bars, they couldn't chart me till I found my fingertips down the red Sharpie.
Man, give me the car keys.
Play the three like Dan Marley. Watch me crash this shit, then go sniff coke with Chris Farley. When I return, provide a frozen land. Ain't got no holes in my hands, I put holes in my fans. So I can see what they feeling while copy dealing them. Collect them in a glass case like thugs with pens in them. Think that's vain, I paint self-portraits in my own blood. I went platinum. But they don't give up blast for dogs. Try these dogs sprinkle with elephant too.
Relevant proof, you ain't kicking shit in elegant boots.
Tell the truth when I show pity. Running through Central Park with a water gun and my friends wetting titties.
Copyright 78, my Alex the Worm King, Eastern Conference.